Okay, we're going to dive straight, headlong, neck deep into scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a familiar passage, particularly if you're a fan of Dave Bilbrough. Obviously just me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ. Do we have an anyone in the room this morning? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who has brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So much in that short passage. Verse 17, in Christ you are a new creation. The old has gone and your new life has begun. Verse 21, we see the great exchange that Christ took our rags of unrighteousness on his shoulder and instead gave us his robe of righteousness. So we are now in a position of right standing with God. We've been forgiven. We've been made holy, unfettered access to his grace and mercy. You could be even more excited about that. And then thirdly, verse 20, we have been appointed ambassadors for Christ. And we've been given a specific message. Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation. So, congratulations. You have a position you probably didn't even know you held. Perhaps you've never really thought about it quite like this before. But you know what? Every time you walk into any room, you do so as an ambassador for Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty significant revelation to me. I reckon that's worthy of further investigation. Don't you agree? Excellent. Let's get to it. So what is an ambassador? First question, obvious question. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a highly ranked diplomat sent from one sovereign nation to another as its representative. You all knew that, right? They're an envoy. They serve as an official spokesperson. They're an authorized messenger. They're a delegated diplomatic representative. And back in Bible times, Romans would send ambassadors to the lands they had conquered in order to teach them what it meant to be Roman. Not just those in Latin class today get that privilege. They wanted to train them up and they wanted to teach them about the terms of the treaty. That they wanted to explain about the borders and the boundaries that existed. They wanted to enforce the constitution and to mediate between that conquered land and the motherland, Rome. Of course, in our day, an ambassador is a diplomatic statesperson or statesman, stateswoman, and they represent their nation's people and their nation's interests in another land. So I just want to flesh that out a little bit more and perhaps see exactly why Paul used that metaphor for us, the church. So let's dive a little deeper into this ambassadorial role. 3 points. Number one, the ambassador leaves their home to live in a foreign land. Amongst the people who probably spoke a different language, had an entirely different culture and tradition, probably a very different way of life even. And you know what? This is our reality too. A Christian lives in and mixes with and operates in a world with different values. Anyone spotted that besides me? Different systems, different agendas, different philosophies, different core principles, and in many cases, a different language. So physically, though we do live here in this world, as Paul said, really, we're citizens of heaven. And the Bible also describes us as sojourners or aliens or strangers. No wonder we don't quite fit. And it does sometimes feel like that, doesn't it? Whether you're a teenager in a classroom, or a middle manager in an office, or a centre forward in a football team, we just live from a different place, in a different way. We have different priorities, we're subject to different laws, and ultimately, of course, we serve a very different master. So number one, the ambassador leaves their home to live in a foreign land. Number two, the ambassador speaks for king and country. The ambassador, as we already said, represents the interests of his sovereign nation in the affairs of the one to which he or she has been sent. They're an advocate for and promoter of their country. They represent their interests, they express their views, they encourage trade, they negotiate for peace, and they advocate for their citizens. So, as Christians, we speak for King, we speak for Christ. And with that comes a responsibility, which this mini-series here aims to tackle, I guess. And that responsibility is to share Jesus, it's to teach the word, it's to demonstrate his love, it's to advocate for his purposes and to model his values. And we'll come to some of that in the next few weeks. Essentially, we are heavenly delegates, sent forth as the Lord's representatives, authorized to speak on his behalf, commissioned and anointed to continue his ministry, and fully backed by the authority and resources of heaven. And then the third, digging deeper into this role, the third one is that the honor of that country actually is in the ambassador's hands. To a large degree, the ambassador's country is judged by the manner, the conduct, the word, the opinions, the actions of the ambassador. And if a nation wants to know what another one is like, or what it believes, or how it thinks, the ambassador is put forward as Exhibit A. And sadly, many have rejected Christ and Christianity because of lousy ambassadors. Though admittedly, more have probably done so because they don't like what the ambassador stands for, or rather whom the ambassador stands for. And as Jesus said many times, when they reject you, they're really rejecting me. Here's a quote I found. Here is the Christian's proud privilege and almost terrifying responsibility. The honor of Christ and of the church is in his hands. By his every word and action, he can make men think more or less of his church and his master. That's strong. Maybe you don't think like that, but to a large degree, it's true. You are representing Christ in your home. You're representing Christ in your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood. And do you know what? People are judging you, whether you know it or not, and whether you like it or not. You know, I thought it'd be really interesting to start the series where those interviews that we held last week. Huge thank you to Sue Cooper and to Louise and Ian and Steve for being interviewees. And I hope it was helpful to hear what three people in very different circumstances with very different jobs, what they come up against. How they wrestle with some of the challenges that we're going to dig into over the next few weeks. And actually, the provisional plan is to run more interviews at the end, perhaps with slightly more targeted questions, maybe focusing on the issues that we're going to highlight and investigate over the next few weeks. That's the plan. So for today, I thought we'd take a look at the clues that passage we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us about this ambassador role. Let's just read the passage again. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So as ambassadors, we've been given three things. We've been given a task, we've been given a message, and we've been given an appeal to make. The task simply is reconciling people to God, just as we ourselves have been reconciled with Christ. And the message is, describes it here as a wonderful message of reconciliation. The word message is the Greek word logos, means word of reconciliation. And then thirdly, we've been given a reconciling appeal, if you like. Come back to God. And I reckon that makes our purpose as ambassadors pretty clear. Our task and our message and our appeal, reconciliation. I reckon we should be reconciling machines. Interesting thought. To reconcile means to bring or to draw two parties together so they can make peace. Just as Jesus, the great heavenly mediator, brought holy God and sinful man together. A couple of passages I could have read here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So throughout this series, which is going to be three parts plus interviews either end, we're going to be training ourselves to be effective ambassadors. Always looking at it through this lens. How, in this situation, can I reconcile? How can I bring them closer to God? How can I help them find the peace that they seek? Recognizing that true peace only comes in reconciled relationship with Christ. And I reckon we can only do that if we get certain parameters clearly established first. Things that perhaps Christians haven't always balanced quite right historically. And if we don't lay down these markers first, the people we've been sent to reach might get the wrong idea. They might get a distorted view. They might pick up on a false gospel. And instead of reconciling, we might inadvertently end up repelling. So there are three thoughts that I'm going to share with you this morning that underpin our ambassadorial message of reconciliation. And those three thoughts are this. Number one, the gospel is good news. Amen. Okay, just wasn't sure that you got that. Okay, you will in a minute. I'm going to ram that one home. Number two, God is intrinsically for you. Amen. Is that what the world thinks? As a result of the conduct of the church and Christianity over the decades? I don't know. And number three, the freedom that people seek is available for them. This is our message of reconciliation. Let's break that down. Number one, the gospel is good news. Three scriptures, Luke 2, verse 10. The angel reassured them, that's the shepherds. Pretend you're a shepherd for a minute, but don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. I think we sang that, didn't we? Well played. We'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me, for he has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the poor. And then later in that same chapter, verse 43, but he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Ambassadors, sent. This is why we have been sent. So it's crucial to remember that as ambassadors for Christ, we carry a message of very, very good news. It's good news for you and me. It's good news for a world that has been battered with bad news. It's good news for those who need it most, for the poor and needy, for the underdog and the hurting and the rejected. And by good news, we don't just mean fuzzy feel-good, but life-changing, heart-healing, destiny-securing redemption. I'm not sure you've quite got it yet. 4 points. Number one, the gospel is extremely good news. Did I say that already? To present the gospel in any other way is an abuse. It's a waste. Missed opportunity. Number two, Jesus for you personally is utterly, entirely, and stunningly good news. You are going to get this. His love, his companionship, his promises, his faithfulness, his goodness, his holiness is stunningly good news for you and me. Number three, the good news must define our culture. But no one should come into this room and leave without knowing and experiencing and hearing good news. This is why on my kingdom culture thingy over there, our first two kingdom culture values in this place are positively positive and always full of grace. Wow, I wonder how did the pastor come up with that? Well, the gospel is good news. Could it be anything else? And number four, the good news is far too good to keep to ourselves. Isaiah 52 verse 7, quoted by Paul in Romans 10:15. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. I love that, don't you? It's poetry. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Hey, it almost sounds like Isaiah and Paul are on the same page, right? Amazing. I wonder, are you good news? Are you the person that people dread bumping into in the street, or do they cross over the road just to connect with you because you're good news? When your email falls into their inbox, does their heart leap or does it sink? Do people leave your conversation encouraged or depressed? Which should it be, folks? Here's the scoop. We should be advocates for the good news. And if we're portraying anything else, we're not doing a very good job as ambassadors. I'm going to say that with a big grin and hope I get away with it. Luke 2 verse 10, don't be afraid, the angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I'm still not convinced you got it. So what is that good news? Here goes. If you haven't got it after this, I'm going to give up. Okay, the good news is freedom for the captive, comfort for the brokenhearted, beauty for your ashes, joy and blessing to displace your mourning. We've sung that. The good news is that there is salvation for the sinner, hope for the desperate, love for the lonely, light in the darkness, and peace for the storm. The good news is there is strength for the weak. There is family for the orphan, the widow, the lonely and disenfranchised. There is justice for the wronged. There is firm rock to stand on where there used to be miry clay. There is truth to rely on where there used to be only lies. And the good news is there is forgiveness and healing for your past. There is companionship and comfort and contentment for your present. And there is the hope of glory and eternal security for your future. Amen. Thank God the gospel is such amazing good news. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in a world that desperately needs good news. And we haven't even had the election yet. We live in a world that desperately needs good news. And guess what? You are it. You are the spokesperson. You are the heavenly representative. You are the exemplification. And so a huge part of your designated role as an ambassador for Christ is to bring Jesus' message of good news to the world. Number two, God is intrinsically for you. I said, if we're going to go out into the world ambassadors, there are two or three stakes in the ground that we need to get first and impressions that we need to create for people who are far from God and desperately need Jesus. And this one, God is intrinsically for you. Now, sorry to take you back into the dark ages, but you remember that pandemic song, The Blessing? Remember that? In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. And then the bridge goes, he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you for about 5 minutes until you got it. And that was the church's way of saying, it may be tough. You may be alone. We were literally alone. There may seem to be no light at the end of the tunnel, but God is for you. Remember, our message, our task, our appeal is reconciliation. God is good. God is for you. And you can access a reconciliation that brings you genuine peace. So we are Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And so do people around us understand that God is intrinsically for them and wants relationship with them? This is our task as ambassadors. Three really quick gospel statements to back that up. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Here we go. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Naughty world. But to save the world through him. God is for you. So A, God, Jesus could have condemned, but he chose to save. That's our message. John 15 verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. The cross is the ultimate symbol of Christ's sacrificial love for you because he is for you. And then thirdly, Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here we go. Jesus did not die for you because you were in any way good, but because you were bad And he is good. He is for you. And you know what? With that in mind, we're going to hit some tensions in this series. Particularly when we talk about how we as Christians, ambassadors, should stand up for godly values in a world that frankly is running hard in the opposite direction. And so it's important that we start from here. That God is for you. That he has not declared war on the world. In fact, at the cross he came to make peace. That he is the one doing the reaching out. And his appeal to everyone is come back. Come back home. Come back to me. Come back to God. And so as ambassadors, this is where we must start. Number three, quickly. The freedom that people seek is available. And I read a tweet this week, kind of random one, on Chris Vallotton's X feed from a lady called Harriet Tubman, who I hadn't heard of and had to look up. And the quote was this. She said, "I saved thousands, and I could have saved thousands more if only they knew they were captive." You know, she was an American abolitionist, a social activist. She was a black woman who had escaped slavery herself and then made it her mission to rescue others. So she said this, "I saved thousands. I could have saved thousands more if only they knew they were captive." And I read that and something just leapt inside of me. I think I was just taken by this idea. See, there's a danger. And the danger, in a world that is trying to redefine sin, that is trying to minimize sin or excuse sin, the danger is that people don't realize they need saving. Do they even know they're enslaved? Have they become so used to their prison walls that they don't know any better? Are they believing lies that are telling them there is free, that they are free, or there's freedom in that direction, when they are clearly not? What a great opportunity for us as ambassadors. Did you know you could be free? You could be free from sin. You could be free from addiction. You could be free from depression. You could be free from doubt. You could be free from hopelessness. Let me show you another way. Let me tell you about another kingdom. Let me introduce you to an infinitely better king. This is the work of an ambassador for Christ. Representing another realm, bringing heaven to earth, introducing people to a God who loves them, is for them, and wants to radically liberate them. Amen. So, nearly done. Takeaways. So what now? What does this mean for me? Three things, 3 points. All the best points are in threes. Don't know why. Perhaps because my brain only counts up to three, I'm not sure. Number one, don't ever think that you are unimportant. Did you see the dramatic in my eyes there? Don't ever think that you're unimportant. I'm going to read verse 70. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and that rolls into verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. Anyone means you. You are an ambassador for Christ. You represent Jesus to your friends and family. You have been invested with heavenly power and authority. The name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the power of his word. And you have been tasked with this message, this ministry of reconciliation, and God calls you his ambassador. And this is a significant, a crucial, a lofty, a noble position. Don't let anyone tell you you're unimportant or that you're disqualified. When God has called you anyone, when God has called you by name. Number one, don't ever think, ever, ever, that you are unimportant. Number two, so what and now what? Number two, take your role seriously. As I said, this is a significant and a lofty and a noble position that you stand in. We should take it seriously. Hence this series, I guess. And the takeaway is this: we should see our life, we should see our actions, we should see our responsibilities through this lens that I am an ambassador for Christ. What did I say earlier? Every time we walk into any room, we do so as an ambassador for Christ. And if I am, I'm going to do that faithfully, and I'm going to seek to do it well. And I'm going to learn what that really means and do all that I can to represent Jesus accurately and skillfully, and positively. More on that next week. So number three, third takeaway. Never forget that you have the authority and resources of the one who sent you. I mean, that's whole thought of this ambassador thing, is that you represent God himself here on this earth, and you have the authority and the resources of the king who sent you. Go and stand in place of the king in that land. When the ambassador says we, they mean me and the whole army. You have the word of God. You have his promises. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have sufficient grace. And I reckon you have a pretty clear mandate. You are not acting alone. You are not in isolation. You are not without the necessary resources. In which case, let's get out there and do it with his empowerment and his strength. Amen. If the band would mind coming back forward, that would be great. This is a kind of stir-up series launch really next week and the week after. We're going to look at a couple of different angles, this in a little bit more detail, flesh them out. But in terms of response today, three questions, straightforward, simple questions really that I'd encourage you to take to the Lord off the back of what I just shared. Question number one, am I even aware that I am an ambassador? Hopefully you've got that revelation today. Am I aware as I walk into that room, when I roll out of bed in the morning, when I walk into staff meeting tomorrow morning, am I aware of the fact that I am, by appointment, by definition, by nature, an ambassador for Christ? That's a great place to start. Am I aware? He said, take the question and ask him to show you what that means. Help you to rise up into that role and responsibility. So number one, am I even aware that I am an ambassador? Question number two, I think is a valid and a good question, is what kind of ambassador am I? Sadly, you probably think back in your mind and think of one or two ambassadors of Christ. You maybe haven't been quite as helpful and effective and wonderful as you would have liked. What kind of ambassador am I? What kind of ambassador would I like to be? This is an important question. What kind of ambassador am I on social media? Just before. And then question number three, more specifically, in what ways can you act as an ambassador for Jesus where you live and where you work? Good question. In what ways can you act as an ambassador for Jesus where you live and where you work? Great question. Specific question for you to take to the Lord this morning. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we'll go into a response time, which I will set up. But let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful passage and the gospel truth in there. And it really stirs our heart. And today, Lord, we're focusing on this idea that you have sent each one of us into this world as your ambassadors. And my prayer through this series, as we listen to these messages, we pray and ponder ourselves that you would show us what that really means. That you would fill us up and inspire us and empower us to act in that role. And ultimately, Lord, that you would use us effectively for your glory as we take on this huge responsibility of representing you in the world in which we live. Holy Spirit, as we wrestle with these issues and these questions at hand, would you come and stir in our hearts? Would you whisper in our ears? Would you fill us up and build us up? And would you point us in the right direction, we ask? In Jesus' name, amen.